Welcome to the October 2nd edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, folks, we're in October. It was a super September, as I consistently called it in the recaps. Great weekend after weekend, week after week. Excellent open to the football season. Hopefully you will join the team here for October. Sign up is simple, tsp.live/register, or simply tsp.live and click the subscribe link in the website menu. Last week's comments were incredible regarding the life of a professional gambler. I really appreciate everyone for taking the time to send in some feedback. And it was that feedback which brings me to a couple topics today that I wanted to touch on, because multiple people, a couple dozen, had the same questions. So let's get right into those. The first question, and it's probably better phrased as a concern, was in the Life of a Professional Bettor podcast that I did last week. One of the things that I discussed was eventually retiring from this business, you know, not doing the sharp plays anymore. And, you know, my thought on that is obviously everything comes to an end. We're all going to die at some point. But people took it as something that was impending in the near term. So if that was one of your concerns, as I responded to in the various messages that came in, I'm flattered by that. First of all, I really appreciate your loyalty and interest in the Sharp Plays content. But my goal is to be here another 20 or 30 years doing exactly this. I absolutely love what I do at the Sharp Plays. It keeps me dialed into the industry. It keeps me dialed into something I love, which is sports gambling and gambling in general. So I'm not looking to go anywhere anytime soon. Obviously, I can't predict the future. I can't predict what opportunities could come up, what things could arise that could throw a wrench into the Sharp Plays plans. But, you know, I'm at the point where I just love what I do right now, and I'm planning to ride this out for as long as it goes, hopefully another 20 to 30 years. And really, it's all up to how long the good Lord will leave me here on earth and how long the good Lord will give me the tools, the talent, and the skill to do what I do at the Sharp Plays. Provided that is decades into the future, that's how long I will be here. So don't worry that anything is changing or that I am going anywhere soon. However, the point still should be made that, you know, I could walk out the door today and get hit by a bus. And at that point, what are you going to do for content? What are you going to do for action, your professional wagering? And that's why it is still important. Even if my plan is to be here for 20 or 30 years, it is important for you to think of a backup. How are you going to handle things if one day the Sharp Plays wasn't here? And that was really the goal of my point, was to get you thinking about things, to get you looking at gambling from a handicapping perspective versus just, okay, let me wait for a TSP live alert. It says bet, you know, Tennessee. So I'm going to bet my, you know, 2 units on Tennessee and I'm going to go back about my day. Eventually, maybe it's 30 years from now, but eventually that is going to come to an end and you have to have a plan for that. So right now you don't have to be, you know, don't worry if you're a novice at this, but start handicapping on your own. Maybe don't bet it if you're not doing good right now, but start handicapping on your own. Start tracking your results. Start tweaking your game. I am nobody special. Yes, I have a lot of contacts. I've built that up throughout the years, but I started in the same spot that you did. I was a college, actually I was a high school kid at the time, and I wanted to earn an income. You know, I didn't want to work like my friends did, and I wanted to earn good money. And I thought sports gambling, betting offshore at the time, was going to be the solution to this problem. And it was a failure for many, many years. But through that failure, I learned a lot of things. I picked up a lot of skills. I did not have contacts at that point. I did not have anyone at that point. It was just me learning from failure and trying to tweak my game and seeing what I could do to get better. I did read some books. There was nothing really exciting in the books, though, that I read. I've shared that I read Wayne Allen Root's book. It's Betting to Win on Sports. It's hardly a Bible of sports betting, but it was what I first started out at, and it did allow me to look at sports betting in a slightly different way. Again, it's not something you need to track down because it's going to be the holy grail of unlocking sports betting profits for you, but it was just one of those first steps along the road to getting to where I am today. Then, yes, down the line, I had what I call, and I've referred to many times, as my sports betting Yoda. This is the person who really gave me a lot of wisdom into the business, into being a professional gambler. And I was able to combine my early failures and what I learned with what I picked up from this gentleman. And it transformed my game. It's really what got me to where I am today. Now, you may sit there and say, well, where am I going to find my Yoda? I'm hoping I'm your Yoda. I am hoping that I can help you along that path. That's why I put out the educational articles. That's why I put out these long-winded and rambling podcasts. It's because my goal is to transfer some of that experience, the patience, the discipline, the bankroll management, the handicapping, etc., onto you so that you can start to develop your own game and move forward. And really, that's the core of the Sharp Place. Yes, great content and picks and all that, but my goal is to teach a man to fish and to teach you to fish in this game of sports betting. So now that brings me to the second question, which came up at least 20 times, if not more, was I shared a bunch of these photos of me tailgating in the Grove early Saturday morning, being at the game in Saturday afternoon, obviously throughout the game discussing it. And all the while, the TSP Live content did not miss a beat. As some of you noted, you said, TSP Live didn't miss a beat. The content all went out. Do you have an army of people doing this? Do you have other people who handle the alerts? Do you have other people that handle the updates? Or is it just a one-man band? When it comes to issuing the content and most of the customer support, it is a one-man band. So on Saturday, if you had trouble logging in, yes, I was sitting in a tent in the Grove in Oxford replying to you and trying to get your password reset or your login updated so that you could access the website. When the alerts went out, yes, that was me putting together those alerts, getting the content, and sending it over to you. When it was the Penn State, those sons of bitches that couldn't friggin' win the game, even though they had plenty of opportunities, issuing that alert, I was sitting in the stands at Ole Miss watching the game in the fourth quarter when it was time to, when Hermes triggered that there was a 66 out there. And of course, unfortunately, it was Penn State, getting that alert out right at the game. Nothing slows me down in that regard. And, you know, I don't want to flex on that or pat myself on the back. It's something that has come over time. And it really does fit with the topic last week, which was the life of a professional bettor. The big thing for me is, you know, when it comes to retirement in this business, as long as I can maintain my lifestyle, and I don't mean like, you know, as long as I can maintain my lifestyle and subscription money pays for that, no, I earn my income through sports wagering. That's what pays for my lifestyle. But what I enjoy doing, as many of you know, I talk about it a lot, is traveling. Something like last week, going to the Ole Miss game. When the Sharp Plays starts crimping into that, when I can't go to an Ole Miss game because something with the Sharp Plays comes up, or I can't go to an NFL game, NBA game, whatever it might be, because, or just general travel, because the Sharp Plays gets involved, that's definitely when I would start to rethink what I'm doing here. But fortunately, through the years, I've worked to optimize operations. I've worked to make the operations and the technology such that I can run them from my iPhone for a period of 1 to 2 weeks without any computer access or anything else. And that is why I'm able to operate at the Grove, simply having my iPhone there. Everything is connected to it. I have all my systems. I have the books group chat, which is the source of the Odds Makers Report content. I have access through websites to multiple databases that I use. I can get into my back end of the Hermes program and run anything I need to do. There is nothing on my that I can't do on my iPhone, or I should say that I can do on the PC or the laptop that I can't do on my iPhone. And I've evolved that over the years. I've optimized things, and it's allowed me to, you know, again, enjoy the things that I do without it getting into a situation where, oh, I can't do that because I have to be at the computer because I have to do X, Y, or Z for the Sharp Plays. So that leads me to the other point. If there are optimizations, if there is evolution in content, if there are changes, the goal of that is to make operations straightforward and mobile so that I can operate and do whatever I do to keep the Sharp Plays going. So I appreciate your patience when there is a little tweak in something, or, you know, maybe some content gets changed to make it easier to operate mobile, whatever that may be. Thank you for your patience on it, because that allows me to continue to do what I do, what I enjoy in life. It allows that to keep going, and that allows me to keep plugging away at the Sharp Plays. So again, thank you very much for that. Last but not least, the other thing that I wanted to discuss today was I really appreciate the feedback that you had on the life of a professional gambler. Obviously, it is a long topic if I'm really going to dive into it and discuss the ins and outs on a daily basis. I'm glad I was able to open your eyes on some of the expenses and things that you have to think of before you can just commit to doing this as a profession. But I am looking forward to doing a deep dive on the topic. Probably an audio podcast or episode that's going to be 30, 45 minutes perhaps, but I'm putting together my notes on it. I really want to do it right from top to bottom. I hope to do it before the end of the year, you know, more than likely in November or later this month, but I'll keep you posted on that. I'm definitely going to do it and I will get it up there for you. Thank you very much for the interest. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I do these podcasts every week. I apologize. I know some of them ramble. I know my editing isn't the best. That's for sure. And it's really just to put information out there. So thanks for your patience with everything. And let's get into the good stuff this week. Let's discuss the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, of course, a nice win last week. So let's keep that momentum going and some other stuff that's out there in the betting markets for this weekend. As I get into the action that's going on in the betting markets, one of the things that I would note is so far this week, public betting has been below average for this point in the week, and sharp betting has been well below average for this point in the week. Now, that could be a number of different things. First of all, quiet weeks are not necessarily bad weeks. There are a lot of times where I give people this warning like, hey, just so you know, sharp betting volume is low, so we're going to take it easy. And those weeks are great. You might only have two or three plays, but you end up going 3-0. You know, perfect sweep of the board, and it's a nice big weekend despite there being light action. So it's not a bad thing, but it is something to be aware of because one of the reasons that sharps may not be attacking is that value is light or non-existent in the current market as it exists with the numbers that are hanging. That obviously can change as the public moves prices because there's no other action out there. You know, half point here, full point there, injury news comes out. These numbers will move, and then we might see sharps come in and pounce late at high limits on game day, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, tonight. So that's just something to keep an eye on and just something to be aware of, though, in the back of your head. Because if it doesn't change, you don't want to be throwing a ton of action out there when sharps are clearly seeing that there is no value. But let's get into what's going on out there. And I will end this segment with the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, 1-2 on the season, but a win last week. So the biggest book need so far in college football is Colorado State, and they're playing San Diego State on Friday. We have a public dog in the NFL on New England of all teams. This was a really big surprise to me. That's why I noted it. I expected the public to be on Buffalo, at least small, but the public right now is small to New England. They love that 7.5. So that's something to watch out for because you never want to be on a public dog. New England could easily cover. They might even win the game outright, but I just cannot bet a public dog. When we go a little bit further, there are some medium to low-level group buys going on that you might want to keep in mind for in-play, perhaps, or to see how these numbers move throughout the week. I would consider all these, you know, small approaching medium or at the low end of a medium group buy. You have Miami, Florida, Florida State over 53.5. That's now at 54.5 in the market. The group hit 53.5. You're up to 54.5. Again, something to watch possibly for in-play. You have UCLA getting a group buy over Penn State, plus 25. I could see this. Why? Penn State blows. Who the hell would want to lay 25 with Penn State? Surely not me, but can I lay it with the garbage Bruins? I don't know. That's a tough one. Lastly, the third group buy that I wanted to cover, Old Dominion, minus 19.5, caught a medium group buy. It's now up to 20.5 against Coastal Carolina. Old Dominion really should roll in this game, but I would much rather wait to see what happens in play. If it starts slow or if Coastal happens to get the ball first and score first, you could get much lower than the 19.5, and then that might be a number you want to pounce on. So just a couple plays to keep in mind. We have some interesting action with the NFL where you have some pro versus pro going on. So instead of pros and Joes, where you have the sharps on one side and the public on the other, this is sharps on both sides at different prices. So you have early in the week, sharps came in on New Orleans at a pick over the Giants. But just today, the sharps have come in on the Giants at plus 2 and plus 1.5. So you have some clear lines here that sharps like New Orleans at a pick, and they also like the Giants at plus 2. Something to watch out for because in play, You could look to play New Orleans at, say, +6, +7 if it got to there, or you could look to play the Giants, say, +9 in play. You know, get yourself a good cushion, but you can see that there are clearly defined value. You know, there's clear defined value for each team in that game. Last but not least, when it comes to just market action, the biggest book need in the NFL looks like it's going to be Cincinnati +10.5 over Detroit. Everybody's pouring in on Detroit. Money line is huge. Everybody's pouring in on Detroit on the spread. It looks like a great game for Survivor, but eventually some of these big dogs are going to win outright. I can't imagine how Cincinnati does it. That would be a real shock to me, but that's what makes it an upset, is it's a shock. So perhaps this is the week that somehow Detroit screws it up and Cincinnati gets the win. So far this NFL season, we really have not seen a lot of the larger dogs winning outright. Now, it's never a high percentage play, but you usually see some, and the chalks have just been killing it straight up in the NFL this season. So we're due for a week where there's some carnage in survivor pools because some of these dogs win outright. So that's the biggest one. That's the biggest need right now in the NFL is Cincinnati over Detroit. Closing out this segment and pretty much the podcast as a whole, I'm going to go with the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year in the hope to move to 2-2 on the season and start that run into profitability. It's going to be an ugly one, though, so you may want to turn the podcast off at this point if you don't want to be tempted by an ugly bet, but I am going with Miami -1 over Carolina. Miami has a ton of talent on the team. The coaching is just god-awful. So I think they put something together on Monday. Yes, it was against the Jets. The Jets are hardly a powerhouse, but I like when a team that has a lot of talent finally gets a win and hopefully could get a little momentum. Carolina isn't going to be a very difficult test, but you know, the concern for me is the Miami coaching. If they can come with any sort of game plan, I think they can squeeze out a win over Carolina on the road. If they don't, then yeah, I'm going to go to 1-3 on the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. But I will take my chances that they get some momentum off of this win on Monday night, carry it into Sunday, and get the cover against Carolina. So the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year is the Miami Dolphins -1 over the Carolina Panthers. And that will do it for me this week. Thanks again for listening, folks. Thanks as always for your feedback and questions and things like that. Helps me get content for these podcasts. And I will look forward to be back with you next week covering another topic that everyone had voted highly in the recent poll that I did on Telegram. We'll get into that. And as always, good luck. Cash your tickets. Always here for any questions. Take care. Thank you for your support.